This is the Triad Podcast Network.
I'm Laura.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Coda.
I'm Laura.
And we are the Triad Moms on the Mic.
So, hey guys, my name is Laura, and I'm here with Kelly, Coda, and another Laura, and we are Triad Moms on the Mic. We are representing the blog Triad Moms on Main, and we're branching out into this whole blog thing just to see what happens. So thanks for joining us, and we're going to spend a few minutes just getting to know who all is here as part of this podcast. So Kelly, do you want to get started?
Sure. Hi, my name is Kelly. I've lived in Winston-Salem and thereabouts most of my life. I have three kids. My daughter Katie is a freshman at App, and then my daughter Julia is a seventh grader, and my son Henry is a fourth grader because I like a challenge. So, so we're super active, although right now we're a lot less active than we normally are. But I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Okay, and then Coda, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Coda. I've lived in the Triad, Winston-Salem specifically, for about 8 years. I was a teacher turned stay-at-home mom when my daughter May was born almost 2 years ago, and I'm expecting another baby in about a month. So nothing with this has really changed our schedule in our life recently, but it's nice to have something a little extra just for myself to do. So this podcast, and then also being a sales rep with Triad Moms on Main, has definitely been a great thing for me the past few months.
All right, awesome. And now we're going to go to Laura. There are two Lauras. Try not to be confused. Laura, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Laura, number two. I am the mom to 10-month-old George. He's my only son as of now. And we've been in the Triad about 3 years. We moved down from Pennsylvania for my husband's work. So we've been here just a little while, and I found Triad Moms on Main. Fine. Found Triad Moms on Main when I was pregnant with my son, and have loved them ever since. And when they decided they were hiring, I applied as soon as I saw the post, and I have been really lucky and fortunate to have worked with them since. So I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. And then I guess I'm Laura, number one. I have been here in the Triad for almost 4 years now. I'm originally from Ohio. And I have three kids. Eli is 10, Caleb is 8, and Violet is 5.5. And that half thing really matters. And so I homeschool, which is interesting in this current time, because you would think that I would be really well adapted to stay at home, and it turns out that we are not. And then I do some writing for Triad Moms on Main, and I also work in educational publishing and e-learning in the spare time that I don't have. So, yeah, I think that's it. So we wanted to talk to you today, or talk, I guess, amongst ourselves while you listen, about how we're surviving, maybe thriving, in this time that we're living in, where a lot of our normal activities are gone and a lot of our normal sanity savers are just not functioning. And so what are we doing with everybody in our household at home all the time to make it work? So I just thought we'd start out by talking about, like, there are some silver linings to this massive pause in life as we know it. And I was just wondering what you guys are finding to be maybe like something good that's coming out of this.
Yeah, so I can start. Since, as I mentioned, we're expecting our second child in 5 weeks, it's kind of nice to just let May really take all of our attention right now and just be an only child for this last month. Because she, you know, she's almost two, and she kind of has a feeling of what's going on, but you know, she doesn't fully understand that we're going to leave for a couple of days and come back with a baby. so I think that just my husband and I have talked a little bit about it, just like, you know, just spending a little extra time with her. And we're able to do that now as a family, because while he is home and working from home, you know, if he needs to get up and stretch his legs or whatever, then we can go outside for 5 or 10 minutes and just like be a family of three for now, until we add the fourth one in a few weeks. So that's been kind of a silver lining for us, although of course it comes with its challenges, just routines and things being turned upside down. But it's, you know, nice to kind of think of her having this time with just us for just a little while longer.
That's really nice. I'm sure she's enjoying that, even if she doesn't quite understand what the gravity of the situation. She says, I get mama and daddy to myself for a little while.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and not to compare your daughter to my dogs, but my dogs are loving having us home right now. As you might have heard them in the background just a minute ago. So that's definitely a silver lining for us. And, you know, I'm saving gas. And I'm reading more, and my daughter is home from college, which is awesome, because I have been missing her a lot this year. So I don't know how awesome she thinks it is, but I think it's
awesome. Yeah, she came home from spring break and
never went
back, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so there's been an ongoing conversation about getting a dog in our household. And like, I'm not going to lie, like it has occurred to me that this would be
the
ideal time to get a dog and train a dog when we aren't running and gone all day at various things. So yeah, it's crossed my mind. I haven't taken the plunge yet, but it's there. It's a thought. So Laura, what about you?
I mean, I kind of agree. Being a stay-at-home mom with just one little guy, I feel like it hasn't affected me personally quite as much as some other people. I have very much enjoyed my husband being home. He spends most of his time locked up in a room working, but, you know, those quick little moments where I need to use the restroom and I can just drop the baby in his room for a minute. Yeah. And, so that's been wonderful. And it's also forced us to get outside a little bit more than we're used to. Because part of our day, you know, is going out and let's go to this museum or let's go shopping here. And now that that's not there, we need to fill that with something. And thankfully, we've been able to enjoy this gorgeous weather we've been having. And just been nice to get outside a little bit more.
So I never realized how much time I spent driving basically a taxi until all of those things came off the schedule. So for me, I mean, because I do work and I do homeschool my kids, and there are things even with homeschool that like I just don't do because they take more time than I have. So like our co-op has a Memory Master Award where the kids literally memorize every piece of their curriculum for the entire year. And I've known for 3 years now that my kids are totally capable, but it takes a long time as a parent to proof them through that. And I've never done it because I had to work. And so today my oldest got his Memory Master Award because we have time. So I think like, I'm seeing academic benefits and that we don't have our other things. And so we're really doubling down. And my thinking is we are going to do all the learning we can for as long as we're in the situation. And then we're going to take a good long break.
So, a well-deserved break.
Yes. Yes. And we're going to, yeah. And I do think too, like we go a lot of places, but now I'm thinking more strategically about like, where can we go outside that will not put us around a lot of people? And I kind of foresee that translating into more hiking, and, you know, taking advantage of, we have some really great outdoor activities in this area, and I haven't used them nearly enough. So I'm hopeful it translates to that.
for you to get out and explore new parks and areas, and saying that you were liking to go on hikes and things. And I said, yesterday I ventured into a new area at Tanglewood, at near their arboretum. I guess I had never just gone in there, and there's a children's garden specifically, mm-hmm. and it has the five senses, yeah. and a that's little awesome. Library. And it's just it's really cute, and that's exactly, we would have never gone in there, you know, if I hadn't been killing time because we couldn't go shopping or something like that. So mm-hmm.
That little area is awesome. It's awesome all year long. Like when stuff starts to bloom, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what time of year, but you want to go back. So now that you know it's there.
Yes, we will definitely be back.
Is that the part right behind the manor house?
It is.
Yeah.
So it's equal parts formal garden, and then they have that children's area with the little cabin and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah, I tend to discover things that are a little too old for George. I'm like, oh, we'll be back.
Yeah.
Definitely a little old for him, but that's okay.
Not for long, though. Not for long. So you're right on the cusp of him really being interactive and enjoying those outside things. Well, one of the things that we were thinking of talking about was the whole idea of whether or not we should schedule our time. Because I know right when this started happening, this really lovely color-coded schedule started going around the internet. And even as a mom who homeschools, I was like, that'll last a day. And people have amended it in recent days to be much more realistic in all sorts of funny ways. But there's the larger question of, do we schedule this time? Do we not? Or is there maybe a happy medium where we schedule a little bit and then like leave other times just open? So I'm curious, since we have all different age ranges represented here, I'm curious what you guys are doing with these big stretches of time.
Well, for us, I struggle with this because I am a structured and scheduled person by nature. So like wiping my dry erase calendar clean was like almost physically painful for me to do. I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? But because two of my kids are somewhat requiring of my help during instructional periods, I have scheduled us, you know, blocks of instructional time. And I also think that everybody needs to get up at a reasonable hour and brush their teeth and get dressed. And, you know, we seem to thrive on that. So I have, you know, instituted somewhat of a schedule. I think it's important that, you know, we get outside or have some physical activity every day. I want to give them some guidelines and some parameters, but within those parameters, you know, I also teach preschool and I have three kids and I understand that life does not fit in little boxes. And then with my college student who will start online classes next week, she's not been doing anything except for laying in bed, but eventually she's gonna have to get up and do something too. So I mean, I think you're right. I think there's a happy medium, but for me and for us, to make it feel as normal as possible, I feel like we need some structure. Yeah,
we definitely have some here. And I, again, since we're typically at home, we typically learn at home. That's kind of our normal. But even for me, and having been at home now for 4 years, I left my teaching job in Ohio when we moved here. You've probably seen people write about the importance of making your bed. I have to make my bed.
Yes.
And open the curtains and like, okay, we have started our day.
Put on some pants.
Right. Like, it's really better if I take a shower. It doesn't always happen. But like, I mean, even normal homeschooling, I found that if I work out before the kids get up or if I run before the kids get up, my day is better for that. But that doesn't always happen. So a little bit of structure and stability, like piano lessons have continued virtually. So we start every day with piano. But as the day goes on and we start to check things off the list of this is what should have happened, I also really like unstructured play. And that's when my kids are crazy creative, for better or for worse. And so as much as possible, I've been trying to give them chunks of time in the backyard that are not structured, because so much of life doesn't allow that, especially as you get older. So it's a mix. It's definitely a mix for us.
For us, we're kind of sticking to like our normal routine, but you know, I have a 2-year-old and the only thing out of the ordinary for her is that she was going to like a half day preschool 3 days a week. And of course she's not doing that now. So, you know, during that time we try to go outside and go for a walk and things like that, and then come in and have a normal lunch time and a normal nap time. And then in the afternoons, kind of the same thing, like snack, go outside and play, read books and play and do things like that. So it hasn't been super out of the ordinary, just those 3 days a week. I can tell she's missing getting out of the house and going to school, but we're still trying to keep as much of a routine as we can.
So I've been making the past few days, I've made a little video for my preschoolers and put it up on YouTube just so they can kind of stay connected, because they miss it. I'm sure May misses it.
And we actually today, a couple of days ago, got an email from what is she called? Like the head of the preschool. What is that
director,
called?
Director.
Pregnancy brain, you guys. Like, I'm going to think of words. It's awful. It's so embarrassing. I'm going to blame it on that as long as I can.
You get at least 3 years.
Yes. Because then it turns into newborn and the fog. Right. Okay. Yes. So the director sent out an email saying that each day a different teacher would be like reading a Bible story and like doing like crafts and stuff. So we get like a little like 10-minute video from some teacher at her preschool, and then some like activities and stuff. And they've done a really good job with like the age ranges and stuff too. So they have stuff for, you know, the toddler classes, and then stuff for the pre-kindergarten, you know, older fours and fives classes too. So that's been really nice. And she likes to watch the videos and see familiar faces. And even today, you know, it was, like I said, the director, and she was watching the video before she took a nap, and she was like, Miss Tiffany. So, you know, she was excited to see familiar faces. And even in the video, they were saying, you know, we miss you and we love you. And just to make the kids still feel like they have something of their own too. Like, it's not just us all the time. So it was, it's been a nice thing to have that.
It's been kind of amazing to watch how people have mobilized. Like my fourth grader had one of his co-op classes on Zoom with like 10 of his classmates, and they very quickly discovered the chat feature, and parents had to intervene because they're normal kids, right? Like, they're learning about grammar, and then like they're like, hi, like back and forth, and nonsense. And then like our younger teachers, our teachers for our younger kids have made YouTube videos. And one of the leaders in our church children's ministry hand wrote a note to the kids and drew like Emmett from like the Lego movie. And like my kids thought that was amazing. And so these adults in their lives are going above and beyond to like maintain that connection and keep learning moving. And like, none of us have like a whole lot of technological skill. This is my first time ever using Zoom this week, and I've used it for like 10 times. But it's just kind of cool how we've all mobilized and we've learned new things, and that's probably good for us.
And so. I have to give a huge shout out to like every teacher out there who is scrambling and working and doing something that no one could have possibly anticipated having to do. And they're incredible and they're selfless. And we appreciate you so, so much. Thank you so much for being there and for helping to keep our kids connected.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And let's hope that this translates to at least a month of gratitude on the part of school children everywhere when they get to go back. So,
yeah, I'm sure they'll be excited to see their teachers and not their mother or father up there trying to teach them during the day when they're used to.
But so, also kudos to the parents for like doing their best, you know, like come from experience. And Laura, you can, you know, kind of chime in on this. Teaching is hard. And you really do care about these kids and love these kids. And so even though, you know, these teachers aren't with their kids right now, they're worried about them. And they're, you know, some thinking like, you know, they're worried about where their next meal is coming from. And, you know, are they safe at home and things like that. So just because teachers aren't with their kids right now, they're still thinking about them and worrying about them.
Yeah. And even the whole, like with the possibility of not going back, which I really hope is a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But like that goodbye with your students, like I've cried more years than not. I taught for 14 years and I taught older kids, middle and high school. But man, you form very real relationships with those kids, and to wave them off on the bus on the last day is emotional, and to not get that chance, they really here didn't even get the chance to say goodbye for a time because it was called over the weekend. And that's hard. That's emotional. So Laura, number two, how is this? Cause you have a little guy. So I bet you're already scheduled, right?
Oh yes, we are down to the minute schedule.
When's the next nap?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That is actually how our lives have changed the most during all of this, because this little guy has decided this week he wants to drop his second nap. So honestly, based on with the virus and everything shutting down, I mean, our day-to-day lives, we are at home a lot, you know, and yeah, we're not able to go out as much, but our actual daily schedule has not altered a ton, aside from now that we're skipping that nap. So we're trying to figure that out, and it would be helpful to have some places to go during this time of transition, but we're going with the flow and we're figuring it out. And like you said, there's so much that has gone mobile, and I hadn't used Zoom until this week either. And we've had a music class, Collidium went live. We did that. There's so many things that we've been able to do online this week without leaving our living room, without putting on pants, without doing any of those, which has actually been a pot. So there's another silver lining for you. Definitely had more options to do things from our home. Enrichment things that we didn't have before, or maybe weren't quite aware of. It's coming a lot more to the forefront. They're saying, oh, we offer this online, or exercise classes, everything. So it's been nice. That's probably been our biggest change, is being able to do things here. And I think I've probably talked to more people this week than I'm used to, because everyone else is home.
Yes.
Which is kind of nice. We can FaceTime grandma because grandma's not at work and things like that. So that's kind of been fun.
Yeah. So going along with all those new resources, how are you guys trying to make choices and decisions that are sustainable for the long haul? Because I am not a Pinterest mom. One of my last Pinterest experiments resulted in catching a grill on fire in almost the house. So I don't craft. I don't do that sort of thing. I just know if I start out with this idea of, okay, now we're home all the time, we're going to do all these things, it's not going to be sustainable. So how are you making choices that like could be maintained for a period of weeks, if need be?
Well, I think, like I said, I'm just trying to keep things as close to normal as possible. So, you know, we get up, we get dressed, we brush our teeth, we have breakfast, we do school, we have lunch, we, you know, and the biggest thing for us is I have kids who are super active and super involved outside of school. So, you know, both of my younger kids play club sports. Well, guess what? They're not playing club sports.
They're not. No.
And that was 1 to 2 to sometimes 3 activities every day, Monday through Friday after school. So, and again, I have to give a big shout out to, you know, the NC Fusion lacrosse and soccer and Winston-Salem lacrosse, who are sending out like daily workouts for these kids to get out and to do and to practice, to keep them connected with something that they really work hard to become good at. And they miss it. They miss their teammates. They miss their coaches. They miss the camaraderie. They miss the physical activity. I mean, they love to play those games. So I appreciate them sending stuff out. So every day my kid goes out and plays wall ball and, you know, bangs a lacrosse ball up on the rebounder. And my other kid goes out and juggles a soccer ball every day because that's their normal. And that's what I'm trying to do, is maintain the normal as best I can. So those things are sustainable.
To some degree, I think this might be more challenging with older kids. My 5-year-old does do swim team and ballet, but is not as invested yet as her brothers are in swim team. And obviously, you can't just do swim team practice in your backyard. So, but again, like, we swim for Tide, they've done a great job of like, here's dry land exercises, mm-hmm. here's things you can do. What I wound up doing, so my running partner has an immunocompromised family member, and so she can't run with me. And so now I have an 8- and 10-year-old running partner just to mm-hmm. keep all of us in shape and to keep them from tearing my house apart because they have so right. much energy. And they beat me yesterday, which was a little hurtful. But you know, it's kind of, I was like, you know, I kind of enjoyed this, like, what a neat opportunity to do this physical activity with mm-hmm. my boys. Like, I never considered that before. I didn't think they could run 3 miles. They apparently can. So
faster than you.
Faster than me. Yeah. Like, the one actually has a faster 5K time than I do. And he did that wow. when he was 9. So, but yeah, like, That I feel like is sustainable, and probably also in terms of all of our sanity, that movement and that exercise is going to be really important.
I mean, I kind of agree with that, like the sustainability of like us going outside more than just in the afternoons and things like that. Just, I had a doctor's appointment this morning, but my husband took May out and she walked a mile, and we're kind of like, let's wear her out in the morning because she's used to going to school and doing all of these things and like using her mind and using her body. And just, you know, by the time she's home and after she's had lunch, she sleeps for 3 hours. So nap time's been a little iffy the past week or so. So we're kind of hoping that the more we wear her out in the morning, then the longer she'll sleep in the afternoon so yeah. we can get something done. And I know that might sound a little bit selfish, but, you know.
No,
you guys, it
makes complete sense.
Yeah, everybody's home with their whole families, and there's not much time for a break.
I'm kind of wishing we could bring back nap time, personally. Like, can you make a 10-year-old start napping again? Is that possible?
Dream big.
Right. That would be a silver lining. That would be amazing.
That would be great. Figure that out for next podcast. How did they get yes. your 10-year-old to reinstate naps?
Right. That would be awesome.
Oh my goodness.
So we talked a little bit about exercise and outdoor time. Anything else that you guys have seen, like, or ideas that you have for getting outside, getting moving without being around a crowd of people?
You know, I haven't really looked that up or anything, just because the house that we live in is on a 20-acre farm. So we don't really, like, we're very, very fortunate in that, you know, we see our neighbors, but it's more of like a hand up, wave, passing kind of thing. It's not you know, we're able to go outside and it just be us. There's no traffic on our road and it's very quiet and open. So we're very lucky with that. So I haven't really had to deal with, you know, worrying about, you know, taking May to the park or, you know, being around other people at this point.
So I live in a pretty populated neighborhood. But I will say, like, people are out walking all the time, which I think is a good thing. I mean, like, they're not, like, you know, clumped up on each other or anything. They're, you know, maintaining some distance, but, like, we're waving at each other, and I just going out for a walk does a lot to keep me sane.
I will say, on that same kind of token, though, the other day we were just kind of like, we have to get out of the house. Like, we just wanted to get away. And we went to Rinalda Gardens, and it was just a nice change of pace just because it's so beautiful, and it wasn't crowded, and I think people were very mindful of the whole, like, 6-foot distance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, you know, it was just easy for us to go and take a walk on the trails. And it was nice, just a change of scenery. It was good.
And it's beautiful. We were there this morning, and it was the same thing. We went across the bridge and down to see the waterfall, and then on some of the trails around what used to be the lake, that wetland area there, and all the daffodils are blooming, and the flowering trees are out, and it's just a gorgeous spring, and it's not crowded. I mean, you can totally maintain some distance, but still see people and wave at them,
right?
Which I realized I've missed. So,
well, and I also think that that's healthy. Like, people, as introverted as some people are, you still need to see people, in my opinion. You know, like, it's nice to just still be able to go out and kind of interact, but not too closely.
Yes. So we are totally thinking, I mean, it depends obviously on the weather, but I will go hike in pretty rough weather. But like Pilot Mountain is on my list. There are lots of trails at Pilot Mountain. You don't have to do the Pinnacle if your kids are really too little to be safe up there. So I'm thinking that we will probably be doing some of that in the next probably week or so.
And even, you know, things that are closer to home, like Quarry Park and things like that, they can go out on the bridge and look at the water and then the little trails and stuff that are around. So, like, and then the Salem Lake, you know, there's plenty of places that have great trails and stuff around that
and you can take out bikes. And do things. I've heard like biking is considered one of the better things to do right now because you're not like face-to-face interacting. So you can take your bikes to Salem Lake, or I think you can rent them there if you lysol them down. But that would be an awesome outing for a day.
We were at some park, I don't remember exactly what, and there was another couple there with their son, and he was carrying around a bottle of Lysol wipes, you know, kind of following his son around on the swing, and I just thought, yeah, that seems about right for right now.
Oh my gosh.
But so yeah, we've just been trying to check out new parks, and like you said, Salem Lake, Quarry, those are good, but even just little ones that I don't know about. I personally use the Triad Moms Park Directory because a lot of people aren't at. So we've had playgrounds to ourselves for a while now, which has kind of been nice just to see what they're like and check out something new. Like you said, change of scenery is always good.
Definitely. And a lot of those parks too have walking trails, because we last spring, that's why my kids and I went and scouted a lot of those walking trails, just to see what was there and how easily accessible it was. So even if you don't want to do playground, if you just want to go for a walk with, you know, the kids in a stroller, a lot of that is available.
Absolutely. Muddy Creek.
Yes.
Is a good option. And then even there are several in Pofftown that have just walking trails. There aren't, like, you know, playground equipment or anything like that, but, you know, May still loves to stroll and stuff, so it's easy for me to just load that up and go for a walk, for sure.
What was the name of the park you guys were at the other, really, in King, I think?
Oh, Recreation Acres. Now that's a playground, so you're going to need a lot of Lysol.
Yeah.
But it's Recreation Acres. Awesome. Yeah, in King. And it's that park, I mean, for when we're all let out and free again, that was built as an accessible playground. So much of it is accessible for kids in wheelchairs and with other disabilities. There's a swing there that you can actually drive the wheelchair on. It's operated with the key. And so kids in wheelchairs can swing. It's got that squishy like rubber on the ground. I mean, it's really squishy. It's kind of funny to walk across. and they have one of those old school spinny rides that when I was a kid in the 80s, like somebody's leg would get sucked underneath and they've like broken. And they have taken that and they've sunk it down into the surface of the playground. So there's no like space there. And now you can roll a wheelchair on there and, you know, they can hold on and they can spin around. I can attest that at 41, I cannot handle spinning things like I did at 10, and I did about 30 seconds on that thing and I had to crawl off. Like, it was embarrassing, but no, that's a fantastic park. We hit it last week at like 8 a.m. and nobody was there.
And they even have like a toddlerish side and then the side for older kids too, which is really nice.
And the toddler side has the musical instruments, like the sensory play area. I mean, it's really, really cool. So, and typically very crowded, but not so much now. So yeah. But I definitely
am. For a later date, I guess.
It's one, yeah. And with that one, too, there's no shade. So they do have like a covered picnic area. But like also when you plan it, you don't want to go at like noon on a 95 degree day. Like you probably want to go early morning or late at night. But it still is an amazing asset to the community. They've just did a great job with it. So
put that in your pocket for later.
Yes.
Definitely.
It's my kids' favorite. So they like that, and they like the slides at Haynes Park, because clearly Haynes Park has the biggest slides in town. and they're pretty cool. So I was thinking maybe we could close out by talking about maybe some of the things that we've always wanted to do and not really had time for that now maybe we are finding time to do. Just again, to kind of finish on a positive note.
I don't know that there's going to be like a lot of people learning to play the piano or anything.
No.
I think it's like, oh, I'm finally going to write that novel. No, probably not.
That's true.
But we're cleaning out a lot of closets.
Same.
Small victories, right? I don't want to set myself up for failure, but if I can clean out a closet and, you know, who knows? Who knows what's after that? Maybe the attic or the garage.
There you go.
We've done a lot of purging in the last few days of like the baby toys. Sometimes my 5-year-old will still pick them up, but I'm like, it's kind of time. To pass this on. So, and that makes you, on the one hand, it's a little bit bittersweet, but on the other hand, it does feel better to get things that you don't need out of the house. I call it the seasonal clothing migration.
Yes.
Which is a whole job. And so I'm like, we might as well do it. It's getting warm here. And so that's been another thing that I've tackled.
I was actually on this exact topic saying to my husband this morning that I was jealous of everyone who is cleaning out closets and doing the purging, because like I said, mine and George's schedule hasn't changed much. So I don't feel like I have all this time now to be doing that. So I'm like, I'm kind of jealous of everyone who is able to do that.
Well, and you don't want to purge.
Definitely needs to do that migration.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want to purge baby toys because you have a baby
you
and
know.
You might have another. So
yeah.
Right. I have a lot of babies in 9 months. So
yeah. You just never know.
The next baby boom is coming, you guys.
It is. I feel
that's
like
what this I
is
heard.
Job security if you work in obstetrics. So
oh my. One thing we have been, like I said, been able to do more is
kind of be social, which seems weird, but I've been able to chat with girlfriends who aren't stay-at-home moms, you know, who work. So I've been able to be a little bit more social within a distance than normal because everyone else is kind of in the same boat. So that's been nice. And if anyone, we discovered Zoom. And so we have a happy hour tonight on Zoom with a bunch of my girlfriends from all over the country. So we're looking for, which I honestly don't think would have happened if, you know, we weren't in this situation. So
you know,
for
sure. And that's something might come of that. Like that might be a thing that you guys continue to do even after this is all over. So that's awesome.
I have to give, like, talking about social connections real quick, I have to give a plug to the app Marco Polo. I don't know if you guys Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah. I've never used it.
But I have a group of friends who live all over the country in Canada, and we Marco Polo all the time. Like you just make little video. It's like a video chat. But the good thing is it's not an immediate thing. So like if I'm busy, I can go check my Marco Polos. Like right now I have like 150 Marco Polos.
Oh my God, Kelly.
It's popular over there.
Sometimes we get a little chatty. That's all.
But aren't those notifications driving you nuts?
No, I turn them off. But it's, you know, if it's a group of 15 or 20 people and everybody has something to say in one day, you know, it adds up. But it's a lot of fun and it's a way to keep connected with people just in general. Right. Yeah. Not even
and on your
you started
own time.
This before. Yeah. And on your own time. On your own time.
It has like I've been trying to think a lot about like how can we take good things forward from this. And I'm an introvert. You would think I would love this. but I did not realize how much I valued face-to-face community until it was taboo and until like it just wasn't safe. And like I really hope that going forward, like we realize how important it is to make time for those happy hours or for meeting up once a year with those college friends that we, you know, I don't know, we just kick the can down the road a lot when it comes to relationships. And I just wonder if maybe this will give us a little wake-up call to dive into those relationships a little more and make more time for them, one way or another.
And I think too, like people with all of this spare time think that they have to constantly be doing something because they have spare time, but it's okay to just not do something all the time. Like it's okay to just be still and like take a break.
And we've seen on social media some of those stories about people who, like famous, you know, scientists who came up with their theorems and their, I mean, I'm not a science person, but whatever they call them, like there were these incredible discoveries that were made, for example, while they were quarantined from the plague. And so there's something to be said for having downtime to think.
Well, Laura, you come up with one of those scientific breakthroughs. I'm going to clean a closet. So,
oh, I didn't say. My science knowledge is. We're doing the states of matter right now. So, yeah.
Kelly says, "Bring me all the closets. Bring me all the organization I can take."
Right. Well, and even I don't know. I rarely watch TV. I'm actually the only thing I watch on TV is the Bachelor franchise. So you can judge. And don't you know it's over? Like it ended last week, and I'm like, why couldn't? Like, why don't they have all sorts of juicy content lined up for me when I don't have to get up at the crack of dawn?
You guys, perfect time. A whole show on what to binge watch while you're quarantined. I mean, that's a whole show in itself.
We should do that actually, because I need some ideas. So okay, something other than My Little Pony and Frozen 2. Well, our timer has gone off. So I don't know if you want. How do we want to wrap this up?
Stay safe, stay well, wash your hands.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to us.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.